So we're here for another episode of Better Know a Burner, and I'm here today with the beautiful Nani Shipwreck, and we're going to ask her some questions. To know her is to love her, and to facilitate that, we're being helped today by the New York Times, an article called The 36 Questions That Lead to Love, and these are the questions I'm going to ask Nani today, in addition to some others. And I think we'll start with, first of all, tell me about Nani, and then tell me about Shipwreck. How did you get the name Nani, and then where did the shipwreck come from?
So Nani came from one of my friend's children. He was like 3 years old, and he couldn't say my name. And so he started calling me Nani, and I was like, that sounds like an Indian princess. I'm like, yeah, you can call me that for the rest of your life, you know?
It's fitting.
Yeah. And so all the kids in the North Georgia world know me as Nani.
That's beautiful.
That's how that came about.
And what about shipwreck?
My shipwreck came actually as it's a family name. It's a nickname that my dad got in high school somehow. You know, like, I don't know if he...
Is there a good story behind that?
Yeah, I don't know. He tells me that there isn't, but I don't know if I believe him or not, you know. But he's like, yeah, just kind of popped out one day with some of my friends, you know, and it just stuck. And so my whole family is called Shipwreck. You know, we're all the wrecks, you know.
That's awesome.
It's just kind of funny because it wasn't something... Like, neither of them are, like, playa names or whatever that most people get. Like, I've never had a playa name, you know. It's just like, this is my name.
That's the one.
You know?
Your playa name before playa name.
Exactly. Well. Yeah.
Before we get into these questions, it's fitting that we're asking you questions because you're known to ask other people questions. And your two favorite questions, from what I understand, are... What would your favorite dinosaur be, or what is your favorite dinosaur?
Yeah, like if you could hatch a dinosaur from an egg, and it'd be like, you're a dinosaur, you know, like that's like your buddy. You
so
know?
So what would your favorite dinosaur be? We're gonna ask that. Well, I'm gonna get that one first, but I'm gonna save the second question for last.
Okay. I have a tied top one. First off, I love the long necks, you know, like the brontosauruses, because I just want to hang out with them.
Exactly.
They're just like really chill.
Friendly.
Yeah. They're really chill. We like eat trees together and, you know.
Giant vegetarian giraffes, basically.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, what's going on down there? You know, three steps later, you're in downtown West Palm or, you know, whatever. They just seem really cool. But then the pterodactyl is pretty awesome, too. And that's like, if you're like, all right, I got to go. You know, mm-hmm. You hop on the pterodactyl and you go for it. What about you? What would be your dinosaur?
You know, I'm an old guy, so I grew up with the Flintstones, and you know, a brontosaurus would be fun, obviously.
Oh yeah.
Or to at least have a brontosaurus burger. But the the ones, the big ones that you can slide off of, like a giant slide. I mean,
yeah.
Yabba dabba doo.
Yeah. I think it's interesting asking people, you know, questions like that because it shows a lot about their personalities. You know, that's why I always like to ask, you know, just random whatever questions, you know.
So let's get into it here. 36 questions that lead to love. Question one. Given the choice of anyone in the world, whom would you want as a dinner guest?
I'm going to say Robin Williams.
Robin Williams.
I would love to hang out with Robin Williams.
See, that would be manic. I'm like a real mellow person. Yeah. I don't know whether I could handle that.
I think that I love his dry sense of humor, and he reminds me a lot of my dad.
Okay.
You know, so I think that we could have a great dinner.
He's definitely clever, and you would not be bored, that's for sure.
Yeah. Jack Black would be a fun one, too.
Oh, yeah. You know? That would be great.
Yeah. Cameron Diaz, Drew Barrymore.
There's no one I would rather, ever since seeing, Bong Water or something, there was a movie where they all do mushrooms in the woods. Just wanted nothing more than to dance through the woods with Jack Black on mushrooms.
Seriously. Could you imagine? It would be so much fun.
Second question. Would you like to be famous? And in what way? The second part's important.
I think everybody has, like, a longing for being famous and in some degree, you know. And so yes, I definitely have that longing in me, but I don't want it to be for just anything. I want it to be for something like, you know, I implemented something that was a beneficial change in the world. You know, like that's, if I was going to be famous for anything, I would want it to be something that, like, you know, whether it was like a, you know, a new way to do a certain type of medicine or, you know, whatever, like I'd want it to be like a positive impact. I mean, art, of course, would love that, you know, music, absolutely, you know, but I think to be more specific about it, it'd be like something on a positive impact.
It's said that, you know, in the future, everyone will be famous for 15 minutes. And my favorite quote was a twist on that, the idea that in the future, everyone will be famous for 15 people. And yeah. So what we're going to do today is make you famous for 15 people.
Okay.
Hopefully there are 15 people out there that will now know you and you'll be famous among, for those people. Before making a telephone call, do you ever rehearse what you're going to say and why?
99% of the time, no. Hey, I don't.
I would agree. And I think the gist of that question is the idea that, you know, do you worry about what people think of you or will think of you?
No. I don't. Not at all. I got over that a long time ago.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
I mean, there are like time and spaces that is important, but no, I don't.
Yeah. I can't spend too much time worrying about what other people think.
I mean, you're just wasting time.
Which makes you the perfect guest to ask all these questions. Number four, what would constitute a perfect day for you?
A perfect day?
A perfect day.
Oh.
What is a perfect noni day?
I love microdosing mushrooms and going and playing in the woods and having fires and playing in rivers and, you know, just hanging out with good friends. Mm-hmm. Just being relaxed and, you know, just finding myself in comfortable space around beautiful people, you know.
Likewise.
That's my perfect days.
Can't agree more. When did you last sing to yourself or to someone else?
Like really sing or just like karaoke?
You know, I think, I don't know whether there's a difference. Is there a difference?
I don't know. I haven't actually like sang like just truly myself for somebody else in a really long time. I have a little bit of a moral compass about it, and I'm self-conscious about it. I used to sing a lot, but and even to myself, I haven't even really sang to myself like truly sang in a while, you know. But I should challenge myself to do that more.
Yeah, I know how badly I sing, so I don't do karaoke.
I bet you're great.
But I've, you know, I'll emit a few words in the shower.
Yeah, yeah. Like I like singing like with the radio, you know, yeah. But I don't sing too loud. Nobody can hear me.
Next question. If you were able to live to the age of 90 and retain either the mind or the body of a 30-year-old for the last 60 years of your life, which would you want?
Ooh. That's a tough one. My family are all, we all get really old, like super old. My grandpa is 92, and he's sharper than most 30-year-olds that I've ever met, you know? So yeah. I feel like I'm blessed in that genealogy of being able to, like, okay, I got a long time to go, so I'll keep the body for a while, you know? Yeah. the brain's coming with. I'm crazy anyway, so it's not going to matter.
It's funny. The question, I think, is poorly worded. It's weighted really heavy. You might think that it's vain to want the body of a 30-year-old for the last 60 years of her life, but knowing what it feels like to get up in the morning at my age, I think I would do the same.
Yeah.
Keep the body of a
30-year-old. I mean, but like being like, but I'm just taking my own, like my own personal life into that question, you know, like, cause a lot of people aren't as blessed in that, you know? So, I mean, if I was somebody that was not as blessed in that, I would totally take the opposite side of it.
Yeah,
you know?
If I had Alzheimer's in the family or something like that, I would definitely take the mind.
100%. Any day.
Do you have a secret hunch about how you will die?
It's not going to be some normal way that other people die. I don't know what it is. I've made a lot of jokes about it in my life.
Like James Dean, 100 miles an hour in your little van.
I have a saying that I've said multiple times, and people that know me well enough have probably heard it. It's like, well, you know what? If today's the day, like, you know, like, this situation right now is definitely dangerous and, like, whatever. And, like, but, you know, if today's the day, then that's how it's going to be, you know.
No fear, but doing something you love.
Yeah. I have no idea. It definitely won't be, like, quiet in a bed.
Okay, this is fun. name three things that you and your partner, I guess that being me in this case, have in common.
Appear to have in common. We both enjoy beautiful women.
Yes, we do.
an amazing friend group that is insanely talented and just over the top. We got good taste.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Well, three things.
Awesome. For what in your life do you feel most grateful? And maybe that's related to the other.
Yeah, I think that life is, I think gratitude is like the best medicine for life, just in general. You know, it rewires your brain into a positive outlook. And so anything that you can be grateful for, even if it's just having a shower or a roof over your head, anything like that, you know? So it can be like the smallest little things, or it can be like big, huge things. I'm most grateful for the people that I'm surrounded by in my life, and how I've grown to make their lives more fulfilled as well, you know, whether it's my family or my friends, you know, like, that's just being able to make an impact on both sides and receive the impact too.
I think science definitely backs that up, and several thousand years of Buddhist teaching both support that whole understanding of the importance of gratitude.
It's the best. It's the best medicine ever.
If you could change anything about the way you were raised, what would it be?
I probably could have used some more stability and support in. So I was definitely not an easy child to raise, you know, even for myself. Being more self-compassionate would be a huge one, you know, just understanding that I don't fit into social norms and that I'm not a quote-unquote normal person, you know, and that's okay, you know, and it's just taken a long time of like self-love and learning to figure that out when the world tries to put you in a box and make you seem like everybody else. So that's
fully appreciated.
Yeah. So I think that's
as you deserve to be appreciated.
Yeah. Well, thank you. You too. That would definitely be a good one.
Take 4 minutes and tell your partner your life story in as much detail as possible.
Oof.
It's kind of a challenge to cram a lot of that in 4 minutes.
Yeah. My life story. So I was born outside of Bristol. Or I was born in Bristol, Pennsylvania. That's where I was originally born. My dad is from Philadelphia. My mom is from Denmark. And so we lived in between like New Hope, Pennsylvania, and Long Beach Island, New Jersey, for the majority of like until I was like 10 or 11. And then we moved to Colorado. But in that time, I also... My grandparents lived in St. Thomas for 21 years, and so we lived on a sailboat based out of St. Thomas for a period of time, and I was being homeschooled out there on the boat.
What an experience.
Then we all moved to Colorado, and so I disappeared from the ocean, but then got thrown in the snow, you know, and it was one of the most beautiful places in the world to live for a long time. But I traveled and ended up... The first boarding school I was ever in, I was 12 years old, and I never really lived at home. And so from my entire upbringing, I never really lived in a place for longer than a year. I changed high schools 7 times.
Wow.
And just all over the place. And so that's some of that stability aspect that I could have definitely, would have probably been some good medicine for me, you know. And that's why I'm so, you know, vagabond now. And But my dad owned a big safety supplier company, and he sold it and retired when he was like 35, and that's what took us out to Colorado, because he just decided, he's like, I want to go like be a ski patrolman and blow up avalanches. And I was like, that's awesome. Yeah. You know? Like, fantastic goal, you know. Yeah. And so he did it, you know, and that's what took us out there. And I mean, some of the most beautiful things. I was a really competitive ski racer for quite a few years, and hurt myself really bad in a junior Olympic qualifying race. And so that was the end of my skiing career.
Wow.
Then I moved on to snowboarding because it's a lot easier on my knees, and just do it for fun, you know. And then took myself to a year in college up in New Hampshire and at fine arts. I just did glass blowing, ceramics, and photography, and only made it 1 year. You know, I was an EMT for a while.
Wow, I didn't know any of that.
Yeah, I was an EMT for a while, lived in Georgia, doing my EMT thing. My passion is travel, and so I always try to, you know, work hard enough that I can go wherever I want to go, you know, and just immerse myself into some different culture and, like, learn about people, because people are amazing, you know.
Well, that's one of the reasons that I actually, wanted you to be one of the subjects for this, because you traveled so much and I admire that you place that as a primary thing in your life.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
I'm in awe of that. So a lot of people are, I think.
I love it.
And so how did you wind up in Florida? We'll give you one more minute.
My grandparents, when they sold the house down in St. Thomas, they ended up in Stewart, you know, Hutchinson Island area. And so my grandma started having health issues, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. My parents came here. Then when my youngest brother came here, and everybody came here. And then there was a good bit of drama that has happened in my family, like as far as like, mental things and physical issues and stuff like that. And so I resigned from my super corporate job, and I resigned from my 10-year relationship, and I resigned from everything that was not serving me in a positive way, and moved into my 1979 VW bus and came on down to Florida to come support my family and
Awesome. Just
help in any way that I possibly could and have a lot of fun while doing it.
And how did you find your way into the tribe, into our little tribe?
Funny, actually. So the first time that I ever met Kay was at Burning Man in 2015, randomly, because I was hanging out with the Jays. You know, we were all like jamming or whatever, and Kay was there. And I actually have a picture of me in camp, and Kay's right there, you know. And then I went to Love Burn, and I have pictures where I'm in Shangri-La and don't know any of these people, but I'm in the camp hanging out with Jake and, you know, all sorts of stuff, and Kay's in the picture again, you know. And so when I first came down to Florida, I didn't know anybody, you know, and the Jays were down here touring. And so I was like, well, I know them from Asheville, and they're fantastic. And so I just followed them around, basically. I was like, I'll be your little groupie, you know. And I brought my whole family out to their shows. I was like, my 92-year-old grandpa and Jake are walking down the sidewalk, you know, and I'm like, I'd love to be a fly in the wall for whatever conversation's happening. And so slowly that kind of happened, and then Jake invited me to the house party at Kay's when they were doing the show at Kay's.
Yeah, I remember that.
And that was kind of like a big gateway for Heather and Kay, and, you know.
That's where I met you, probably.
Yeah, yeah, that's where I met a lot of you the first time, like officially, you know. And then another big pinnacle point was at Okeechobee Music Festival last year. I had followed the Jays there, and they're like, oh, you should meet my friend Matt George. He built this shipwreck installation up here. I was like, I know you don't know me. Yeah, I know you don't know me, but we're going to be best friends. You know, like, and
that's awesome.
Seriously. I mean, it's been, I think it's interesting how the cosmos will just kind of like pick you up and just like throw you into people's lives when you need them. And I really needed the amazing group that was down here more than I ever even realized, but you know, hindsight's 20/20, and so I didn't know how much I needed the medicine and how like deep and beautiful all these people are, you know. It's
the family.
It is my family, man. I mean,
yeah,
it's awesome. I don't have much family. And it is my family. I take it really seriously, and I'd do anything for any of you guys.
Yeah. It's nice when you can create your own.
I know. And now Matt George and I are designing blah, blah, blah. it's definitely unfolded into this beautiful picture. So it's been really nice.
I love it. It's awesome.
Jay Collifield's responsible.
Next question. If you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one quality or ability, what would it be?
Any one quality or ability? I want to teleport.
Teleport?
Yeah.
And why? So for travel?
Yeah.
Okay. So be there.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I'll be there for dinner. You know, and I don't have to drive an hour.
I'm going to make you think twice about that. There's okay. a spooky story, and it's just real quick. Imagine they've invented teleportation, and as a safety feature, you know, they don't want to like shut it off when someone's not where they are supposed to be. So they have to kind of hold part of you. So basically, what happens is you walk in, you get in the box, and they teleport you to someplace else. They basically made a perfect copy of you, and they booped it over to wherever it's supposed to go. And you walk in, and as far as you're concerned, you walked in, and it goes, you've arrived at your destination, destroying copy in 3, 2, 1.
What?
Now, the other copy of you arrives in this new location and goes, this is awesome! Calls all your friends, you gotta come join me! And then all of them, they get in the box, and it's all they know is destroying copy in 3, 2, 1. Their copies go on, and they're like, I'm going to run home and get something. Get in the box, destroying you in 3, 2, 1.
Oh, my God.
So
that's terrifying.
It's terrifying, right?
Oh, my God.
It's like an Outer Limits thing. So I'm never getting in a teleporter.
I'm never getting in a teleporter. I'm going to design a teleporter before I die. We're on the exact opposite ends of that spectrum. That's okay.
Next question. If a crystal ball could tell you the truth about yourself, your life, the future, or anything else, what would you want to know?
I wouldn't want to know the future. I think that's like one of the best gifts of life is like the unknown of what's coming to you. Yeah, I would not want to know the future. I would like to know that more of kind of what my purpose is supposed to be. You know, like that's something like I'm definitely an influential person and I'm strong and I'm comfortable with where I'm at. You know, like I'm totally not like complaining about it, but. You know, I feel like everybody always is like, oh, I feel like I was like made for something, you know, and I'd like to kind of like just have more insight into. Just
point me to my optimal path.
Yeah. You know, you don't have to necessarily like spell it out for me, but right. just kind of give me a little.
Preserve the mystery, but.
Yeah.
You know.
Give me some road signs.
don't invest my life savings in that bong business. It doesn't work out.
You know? I know.
You know. Whatever the bad path. That one. Next question, number 14. Is there something that you've dreamed of doing for a long time, and why haven't you done it?
Oh, there's a lot of things. I'm a big dreamer. There's a lot of things I dream of. I would love to. I'd love to actually live in Denmark specifically for like a good period of time and like, you know, learn the language and really get to know my family over there better because I don't get to see them as often as I would like to, you know.
Is that what you, or what is it that you liked about Denmark? The most, or what was the family
food,
thing?
The food's amazing. The food's amazing. No, I mean, that's one of my only like, homes, like my home spots, because I've moved so much, and my aunt and uncle actually still have my grandparents' old cabin out in the woods there, and that is the only spot in my entire life that has actually like is still around, you know. And so when I go back there, I mean, I don't have a lot of that, like other families do, you know. It's like, oh, this is our family house, right. You know, blah blah blah. I don't have any of that, you know. And so when I go over there and I put myself in the middle of the woods in this little cabin, it's just like, it's just like quiet. It's quiet time for me, and it just kind of takes me back of like, home. I can actually think about like hanging out with my grandpa that's no longer around and my grandma that's no longer around. And it's just Denmark has like a special spot for me, you know, because I've been going my whole life, and I'd like to spend a good stint there and really just kind of immerse myself into the family that I do have and the culture and just live a little bit slower.
Yeah,
I like how intentional they are with their living.
I like it.
And I haven't done it because that means I'm moving across.
You know, yeah. What is the greatest accomplishment of your life?
Mm.
Now you're just a young person, so...
The greatest accomplishment?
Easy on you here.
I feel like I've actually had quite a few. Considering I don't have a college education, I don't have any of that kind of stuff, and I've landed just through my own work ethic and everything. I mean, I've made myself pretty far up in corporate chains and stuff, and I mean, I've landed great jobs and big managerial things where I'm giving presentations in front of vice presidents and 150 different store managers and like the whole nine. I mean, I've definitely done that entirely by myself, and shows me that you don't have to have any kind of a piece of paper to tell you what you can do in your life.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
But also,
I've got my GED.
Yeah. Good. Congratulations. Yeah. You know, we're doing great. Hell yeah. Yeah. But also then this, you know, figuring out and just totally being like honest with myself and quitting all of it and just saying, mm-hmm. like, this is not serving me for my personal happiness and the adventure and the joys that I want to have in life, you know?
Was
and
it so hard?
Like,
was it hard to do?
Oh yeah. It was super hard. It was super hard. It was probably one of the hardest things I ever did. But it was the best thing I ever did. You know, I was walking away from it and just being like, you know what? I'm better than all this, you know, and I can do better than all this.
You look happy and everybody's in awe of
I'm
of
so
you,
much happier. So. I'm so much happier.
Like, oh, I wish I could live her life.
I mean, like, really, it was the best decision I ever made, you know? So, like, I was able to get there, which was an amazing accomplishment, and then I was able to turn around and be like, I don't even want it. Somebody else can have it. Like, I thought that's what I wanted because in social, you know, like, social norms, like, that's what you are, like, fed to believe is what success is and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and it's not, you know? Like, sure, it's nice to have, like, a fatty paycheck and big beautiful house and blah blah blah, you know, but like if you're not happy, like that is your goal in life, you know, more than anything.
Yeah. Awesome. Next question. What do you value most in a friendship?
Honesty, playfulness. And just showing up, mm-hmm. you know.
It's 90% of it.
Yeah. Like no, yeah. Number one, show up. Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's good answers. Good yeah, answers.
For sure.
What is your most treasured memory?
My most treasured memories. That's a tough one. I have a lot. Treasured memories. I have so many. It's just like, you know, when you see like a genuine smile on somebody's face that you put there, you know, just whether it's just being funny or just being there, you know, or the sparkle when the sun's landing over the ocean, you know, like, and just appreciating those moments, you know, and just sitting and I guess it's
good.
Yeah,
it's
I mean, there
it is. It's a tough question.
That's
because
a super
there are so
tough
many,
question.
And but you've focused on the essence.
Yeah.
Of those memories, what makes
it's emotion.
What that's what makes a memory a memory.
Yeah, it's all about your
now
perception.
Now we get the opposite. What is your most terrible memory?
My most terrible memory is I was boy. I don't want to say this. I was 15, not even. Yeah, I think I was 15. And I had two police officers come in my room at like 4 o'clock in the morning and throw me in the back of a car and drive me across two state lines and dropped me off in an outdoor wilderness therapy program. That's rough. That was a bad day.
Yeah, it sounds awful.
Yeah, it was bad. That was a bad one. That was a super bad one. And it was, I mean, it was in the house. I mean, my parents are up. I mean, it was the whole thing, you know. That was a bad day. That was a terrible memory.
You survived it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Takes a lot. Takes a lot to take me down.
If you knew that in 1 year you would die suddenly, would you change anything about the way you are now living?
No.
And why?
I wouldn't change anything. I would do more. I would do more of it.
More of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I would do more.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. More. Faster. Faster, more. Next one is about friendship again. What does friendship mean to you? It seems like a do-over a little
it
bit.
It is. But. It is kind of a do-over. But it's a different because the other one was like, what do you value in a friendship compared to this, what does this mean to you? Friendship is your family, you know, and it's your building blocks of support systems and, you know, all those types of things.
Now we get more personal. What roles do love and affection play in your life?
Oh, they feed it. They're what makes my life possible. Absolutely. Like I don't really have a lot of monetary value that I deal with in my life, and it's all the goodwill currency, you know. And that's so love and affection is the basis of my life.
It's a good way to phrase it. Alternate sharing something you consider a positive characteristic of your partner.
Okay.
I mean, one of the reasons that I chose you for someone to interview, aside from the fact that you agreed to do it, a lot of people won't, is just that adventurous aspect of you. Okay. You know, people are attracted to your spirit and your smile and your energy, and then just the adventurousness of it. You know, I see you hop in your van and go, and that is that isn't a common quality in a lot of people, even fewer in a lot of women who are afraid to be out in the world, you know, just running around. And it's admirable. It's something that, you know, you see and you go, wow, you know, the strength and the courage and just that adventurous spirit is inspiring.
Oh, thank you. You make me blush. I really appreciate your open-mindedness, you know, like you're always like, yeah, I want to do that. Or, you know, like, I mean, you're always in for whatever and without judgment or, you know, anything like that. You're like, I don't even know what it is, but okay, I'm in, you know? And you really support people in that same way too, you know, of being like, you know, like, yeah, don't be scared, you know, like,
no,
just,
I'm blushing.
Yeah. I mean, really though, and that's a good thing because you challenge people in a positive way. And I think that a lot of people don't do that for people, you know, and that's a great
thing.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you.
See, I tricked you into saying nice things about me.
Anytime.
Next question. How close and warm is your family? Do you feel your childhood was happier than most other people's?
No.
And because of that, you know, obviously, I mean, it's funny when people think about their childhoods, and I mean, mine certainly wasn't optimal. I think we're all raised by wolves.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're the children of the people who were either too stupid to operate a condom or just too stupid to care. So they don't tend to make the best parents sometimes. But you are who you are.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't be who you are without that. Do you value it that way? My
family is absolutely amazing. Like, they're absolutely amazing, and we're all just too smart for our own damn good. That's what it is. That's the problem. It's not the stupid side of the fence. Is we are all just way too smart for our own good. It's just, I mean, just me personally, like, I have two younger brothers, and they're fantastic, you know, but, like, I'm a challenge, you know, just in general. And I was...
So were you a mean...
I was just...
Were you a mean sister or were you a good sister?
I was mean.
Were you?
I was mean. I was an asshole. I made my parents' lives very difficult, and then my life became very difficult, you know? And so, I mean, it's a two-way road. And so, I mean, they are fantastic, wonderful people, and I absolutely love them. And now our relationship is better than it's ever been my whole life, you know? And that's taken a lot of work and, like, conscious effort on all sides, you know, to be able to do that. And so that's good, you
know? It's good to hear.
Yeah. I just apologize for being an asshole.
How do you... Oh, wow, they're really getting personal here. Number 24. How do you feel about your relationship with your mother?
My mom is a badass.
Is she?
She is a badass. She is so much fun. I absolutely adore my mom. And she is like... I mean, she's my, like, riding buddy, you know? I'm like, all right, let's go. And we go on trips all over the world together. You know, and so we travel together and we road trip together and we just hang out and just drink wine and shoot the shit. I mean, she is fantastic. My mom's awesome. I mean, we've all got our faults, but she's great. She's a great woman.
All right, we're getting into set three. And this is strange because, you know, obviously this was intended for people on a date. But... It says, number 25 is, make three true we statements. For instance, we are both in this room feeling...
We are both in this room drinking whiskey.
We did. That's true.
All right, your turn. Do we go back and forth, or do I come up with three?
I don't want to... Go ahead and I'll let you focus on this. I've already popped in too often.
Not enough.
I'll have another swig.
Yeah, there you go. It's delicious. I feel like we feel pretty content sitting in this room.
Yeah.
Pretty happy. It's beautiful watching the storms fly by out here. It's awesome.
It is. A little stormy day.
And we had an amazing lunch.
Yes, we did. That was nice. I'm glad you guys were able to stick around and join me for that. So let's go to number 26. Complete this sentence. I wish I had someone with whom I could share.
I wish I had someone that I could truly share just like my deeper, genuine, like... I guess emotions, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of that stuff I don't really share with
them. Vulnerability.
Yeah. I got some walls. Yeah. I got some big walls.
But that is a nice thing about a close relationship.
Yeah, we all do.
If you were to become a close friend with your partner, please share what would be important for him or her to know. We were asking you to... I'm asking you to really open up here and then tell the world what
it's a marathon, not a sprint. That's what I want you to know.
Okay. Good answer. Yeah, we're really going deep here. Number 28. No, see, we don't have to tell you. We already did that. Let's see here. Share an embarrassing moment of your life.
Oh boy, I knew that one was coming. should I tell that story?
Make it good.
Okay. So,
coming in with a grand finale here.
Yeah, of course. So, obviously, my family is over in Denmark, and I come back and I always bring little treats and stuff back. And one of my favorite things to bring back is cheese, because I love the cheese. And you cannot buy cheese in the United States that tastes like the cheese that the Danes make. I don't know. They just got really happy cows over there or something.
Yes.
And so every time I go through security, it's just these big 4-pound blocks of cheese. It looks like C4, you know. And so I always get stopped 100% every single time. And so I'm always like, you know, having the guy like, all right, you know, anything you want to tell me about in this bag? You know, I'm like, it's cheese, you know. And they proceed to unload all of my bags. And there's also, you know, you've got necessities that you bring along with you while you're on longer trips, you know. And so
like,
next
what
thing,
would those necessities be?
Well, I mean, next thing you know, he's pulling out a whip and, you know, you got a flogger, and then, you know, you got some other, you know, tidbits that end up all over the place. And the guy looks at me and he's like, do you want like a private room for this? I'm like, no, I gotta catch my plane. Let's just get this over with, you know? And so there's this whole array of fun toys hanging out in the middle of security. And they're just looking at me like I'm a crazy woman. I'm like, well, you might learn a thing or two first off, you know, don't be scared, you know? And that's actually happened to me quite a few times, more than I'd like to admit.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Next question. When did you last cry in front of another person?
Years.
And then by yourself?
By myself? I'm not a big crier. But I cried not too long ago. Like, I don't know, I'd say like 2 months ago. But in front of somebody else, no, it's been years.
Since we skipped on what makes you cry?
What makes me cry?
What's the kind of thing that makes you cry?
Well, the last time I cried, it was and I knew it was coming. It was actually an old neighbor of mine. Had been battling cancer for quite a few years, and he got diagnosed when I was living next to him. And he was just this crazy cool guy, and we partied, and we did so many cookouts together. And he had just passed away, and I was out on a road trip hanging out with a bunch of amazing women from Asheville, and so that was the last time I cried. But it's got to be like kind of like a more like emotional, like more of a stab.
Maybe something worthy of crying.
Yeah, I don't really use crying as like a release necessarily. You know, it's just something that I'm like, ah, you know. But for some people, it is like a super powerful release for them. But that's not necessarily how it works for me.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay, next question here. What, if anything, is too serious to be joked about?
What is too serious to be joked about? Like actual death, you know? Like in whatever way it comes, you can joke about how it came, but actual like passing of a spirit.
So anything except death is okay.
Yeah, pretty much. And I probably have joked about that too.
Probably joked about that. It's funny, right?
Yeah. Probably passed some jokes on that one too. So I don't know. I mean, I feel like humor is a good medicine in the world. So I mean, I love to laugh. I'm just a goofy person. So I mean, I joke about anything.
That's a good attitude.
Yeah,
definitely true.
God, it makes it so much more fun.
Next question. If you were to die this evening with no opportunity to communicate with anyone, what would you regret most not having told someone, and why haven't you told them yet?
I mean, I wish I could just hug all of my friends all over the world and just tell them I love them. You know?
Well, you can digitally right now.
I know, exactly. I am sending virtual hugs to everybody in the world that knows me and loves me. Like, I love you so much more than you ever know. Like, that's the one, that's it, you know.
Your house containing everything you own catches fire. After saving your loved ones and pets, you have time to safely make one final dash to save any one thing. What would it be and why?
I mean, one thing. Well, I don't know. I don't have any like photo albums, or I mean, I don't have anything like that. I live in a bus. Mm-hmm. It's like I got my beer.
Yeah, like
I don't know.
You're living a very Buddhist life.
Yeah, right? I really don't have a lot. I mean, there's definitely like belongings in there that I would like be like sad to lose, but I mean, it's, I mean,
no prized possession,
the
physical thing. That,
yeah, I mean, I just...
That's an answer in and of itself, just the idea that,
that
once you got loved ones and pets out, that's everything else is fine.
Yeah, that's really the only things I'd worry about.
Of all the people in your family whose death, here we are, we're talking about death. Of all the people in your family, whose death would you find most disturbing and why? Now you got to rate your relatives.
I know. Scale 1 to 10.
Sorry, Grandpa.
Yeah, you're out.
You had a good run.
Off the island. You've been voted out. I mean, I don't think any of it. I mean, if it's like a sudden thing, you know, if something that you didn't see coming, then it's a different story. But we all have... I don't know. I would hate to lose. I mean, I hate to lose anybody. I mean, loss is loss, you know. Mm-hmm. But I mean, mom, my dad, my brothers. I mean, they're really the only family that I have. Other than my family that's over in Denmark, but I don't get to see them very often. But all right, sorry guys, you're on a different continent.
You've been off the island.
You've been off the island. But if my mom passed, I'd be a wreck. If my mom passed, I'd be a wreck. If my dad passed, I'd be a wreck. Yeah. Or either my brothers. Any of those people, for sure.
I agree. It's very hard to rank them. So, this is the last question, but it's not the last question because there's another question that we're going to ask.
It's not about death, is it?
But this one here is share a personal problem and ask your partner's advice on how he or she might handle it. Also, ask your partner to reflect back to you how you seem to be feeling about the problem you've chosen.
Okay. Wow. Okay, so I have to ask you for advice on an issue.
Advice on a problem, and then after I've suggested, you know, what to do about it, then how you feel
about
the answer.
Okay. I got a good one.
Okay.
We all have passed, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. we've all gone through whatever.
I can never run for public office.
I'd be a great congresswoman.
I would
be fantastic.
I would too.
But I wouldn't do it.
Can't get it.
I would never do it.
Too much dirt out there.
Yeah. I'm terrified of love. I am terrified of love. Because I'm terrified of like genuinely being open with somebody. You know, like I said, we've all got past, and you know, blah blah blah, whatever brought you to that point. You know, but I'm fucking terrified of it.
Because of the 10-year relationship that, a little shell-shocked from mm-hmm. that?
Oh, yeah.
And it hurt when you broke up?
Well, yeah, and also, I mean, a lot of friendships, too. I mean, I guess I just have, my first problem is I have high expectations, you know? Because mm-hmm. having expectations just gives you something to be disappointed about, you know? And people just disappoint me. I have a hard time, like, really... genuinely, I mean, I mean, you know me well enough. Mm-hmm. Like, I love, you know, I love everybody, but just actually, like, really being, like, taking that to, like, another level, like, I'm absolutely terrified of it.
All right, so here's my advice.
Dr. Paul, help me, doctor.
My wife and I just celebrated our 36th anniversary.
Congratulations.
And still in love. Still madly in love. But over those 36 years, there are moments where we've each fantasized about the other getting hit by a bus.
Sure.
And that's not that, but that's not where the advice would really understanding that that's the reality.
Just don't push her in front of the bus is the advice.
And then more just a compassion for the flawed nature of humanity in general.
Sure. And I accept that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, 100% accept that.
The knowing that, you know, we're each going to make mistakes, we're each going to be human, we're each going to have flaws, and that we're going to go through transitions. You're not going to be the same person at 20 that you are at 30. You're not going to be the same person at 30 that you are at 40. And then 50 or 60. And in each one of these little periods, you have to find something that you love about the other new person that's kind of there. Now, the essence of the person is always there, and that doesn't seem to change sometimes. But, yeah, people change. And when I hear that people break up, a lot of times I go, that was probably good because they were different people who didn't love each other that way. And when people say, well, what's the secret? I go, there is no secret. It's probably just luck.
Yeah. No, it was definitely positive. Like, it was definitely a positive thing for both of us to go on separate paths, you know, and that's been a very good thing, you know. But
so, are you disappointed in my answer?
No, I'm not disappointed.
It seemed like when I say it's just random luck, and you know, that doesn't seem like, oh, that's not a very satisfying answer. Like,
well, you
give it a
lucky.
Try. Give it a try. If it works out, great.
Well,
if it doesn't,
well, you're
it just wasn't meant to
be. Just give it a try. Oh, you're a very lucky person that you have such a beautiful wife.
Yeah.
Like, she's fantastic.
I rolled the dice and double sixes, and, you know, I would have won the Yahtzee game.
She's great.
But I have hundreds of people that I know and that, you know, they were great for 10 years together or they were great for 20 years together. And it was probably good that they weren't 30 and then maybe they get back together again at 40 and be great again.
Well, and a lot of it's like the natural process of just how we grow, you know, like, because you can grow apart and that's absolutely okay, you know. And that's a natural, like, that's just how we're human beings, you know. We change and we evolve and we do, you know, whatever. And so, like, I mean, that that process of it is just what comes with people, you know.
So the last thing that I'm going to do is ask the question that you ask of many people. And that is, if you could have any superpower, what would that superpower be? What would you choose?
If I could have any superpower, I would love to be able to breathe underwater. If I could breathe underwater, you'd never see me again.
Really?
I would just go off into the Caribbean or somewhere. I'd just swim around the world.
Really?
I would just go everywhere.
You scuba dive or dive?
Yeah, I love it.
Really?
I love it. I love all of it.
Awesome.
I miss that that connection that I had as a kid on the boat when I was living on the sailboat in St. Thomas and just being in the water all the time. Like, and I felt like that even then. If I could do it, I would.
You ever see the movie Amazing Mr. Lippitt, where he becomes I wish I could be a fish?
No.
He becomes a fish. Oh, okay.
I have not.
Movie night.
Yeah, I'm in. Sign me up.
So that's it.
What about you? What would your super?
Oh, what would my superpower be?
Since you got 36 questions, I got two.
As a kid, I had a grandfather, and I knew. It wasn't intelligence that I wanted. It was he just seemed wise. And so I I knew I wasn't super smart or whatever. So I did horrible in school and stuff. But I wanted to at least be wise.
You were smarter than everybody in school.
I just wanted to be wise. And if I could be wise, then that would be better than if it was smart or something else.
Sure.
So wisdom.
Wisdom. That's a good one. That's a really good one.
So. I think so.
Not many people have pulled wisdom out of the hat for me when I asked that question.
It's a superpower.
It is. That's a great one.
X-ray vision.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard it all, man. I mean, I've heard some crazy shit, and I have not heard wisdom. That one has. I mean, maybe once or twice, but like that one has not come up in a long time.
Well, thank you, and hopefully. To know you is to love you, and I love you a little more already.
Oh, I love you.
We'll do this again with some other people.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward. You need to interview some people. You need to pick some people and interview them.
I would love to.
And add them to the pile here.
I'd love to.
Thank you so much for doing this, and another episode of Better Know a Burner.
Thanks for having me.
Where it's sunny, it's a healthy food, but it looks kind of funny and it tastes quite weird and it smells weird too, but it's good for you. The noni fruit, we pick it in season, turn it into juice. Do you want to know some reasons? It's a superfood, an antioxidant and an anti-inflammatory too. To name just a few, you don't have to be a hippie. Just try a little sippy and you'll fall in love. We think our juice is groovy, why not try it in a smoothie? It's the noni
It does actually taste pretty decent.
It does.
Plus, it, you know, there's no food or beer out here.
Got a lot of fresh morning.